And I want to start this lunchtime by quoting to you the letter of an engaged American student to his fiancée breaking off their engagement. And this is what he wrote. "We communists have a high casualty rate. We are the ones who get shot at, hung, jailed, lynched, tarred and feathered, slandered, ridiculed, and fired from our jobs, and in every other way made as uncomfortable as possible. A certain percentage of us get killed or imprisoned. We live in virtual poverty. We turn back to the party every penny we make above what is necessary to keep us alive. We communists don't have the time or money for many movies or concerts or T-bone steaks or decent homes or new cars. We've been described as fanatics, and we are fanatics. Our lives are dominated by one overshadowing factor, the struggle for world communism. We communists have a philosophy of life which no amount of money could buy. We have a cause to fight for, a definite purpose in life. We subordinate our petty selves into a great movement for humanity. There's one thing about which I am in earnest, the communist cause. It's my life, my business, my religion, my hobby, my sweetheart, my wife, my mistress, my bread and my meat. I work at it in the daytime and dream of it at night. Therefore, I cannot carry on a friendship, a love affair, or even a conversation without relating everything to this force which totally guides and drives my life. I've already been jailed because of my ideas, and if necessary, I'm prepared to go before a firing squad." When I first read that letter of that engaged American communist student breaking off his engagement, I was staggered by it. And to be that earnest and that sold out for communist cause makes, if we're Christian believers, very often our Christian lives seem rather mediocre and pale. Well, in the verses we're looking at today, we're going to see the same pattern as we saw emerge the last couple of weeks in these verses, Matthew 23, verses 23 and 24, because too easily we allow God's word to be replaced by other things. And Jesus castigates the religious teachers, the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, because they allow God's word to be sidelined, or rather replaced by wrong judgment, by inexcusable neglect, and by ridiculous practice. First, will you notice today that they were wrong in their judgment. Now, judgment, right judgment, is essential in all areas of life. If you're interviewing people, it's important to make the right judgment about whether their gifts will fit the job, whether they are actually robust enough to do the task you're asking them to do. If you're a solicitor giving legal advice, it's vital that you're actually correct in what you advise your client. If you're involved in asset management, it's important that you can correctly assess the risk of where you're going to put various funds of money. And we just need to think about this last few days and what's been happening with the Foreign Office and Russia. If you're involved in intelligence gathering, it's vital that you have the right people in the right place and that they don't overstep and don't have wrong judgment, as it seems one or two did. You see, right judgment is important. But look at verse 23, will you, of Matthew 23. Because Jesus says there, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites, you give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin." Familiar things in any Jewish household. Mint was included as an ingredient in the sacrifice of bitter herbs at the Passover. Indeed, it was hung in synagogues because the fragrance was so attractive. Then dill was used for medical purposes and for seasoning. And cumin was used for food and for flavoring and medicine. These particular things would have been present in the poorest of Jewish homes, in the sort of kitchen garden or the pot or on the roof of the house. They were familiar to everyone. And yet Jesus says to these religious leaders, "You're wrong in your judgment." Why? Well, because in the law of Moses, not a word is said about tithing these things. Look sometime at Deuteronomy chapter 14, verses 22 to 29, or Leviticus chapter 27, verses 30 to 33, and you'll discover the great emphasis is on tithing the three great products of the field: grain, wine, and oil. Those were the things which were to be tithed. And yet these religious leaders, here they were majoring in minors, and they were illegitimately overextending and overstretching the law. And on such an outlook and practice, Jesus says sweepingly, "Woe, woe if you do that." Now that's a stark warning for us. We must ourselves beware of spiritual blindness, a blindness to God's word which replaces its priorities, while rather concentrating its attention on the secondary minutiae. Jesus castigates these teachers of the law and these Pharisees, these hypocrites, because they were wrong in their judgment. But he also castigates them, secondly, because they're inexcusable in their neglect. Look at verse 23, will you? "But you've neglected the more important matters of the law: justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former." You've neglected the more important matters of the law: justice, mercy, and faithfulness. Now, neglect is a terrible thing. Just think for a moment about an organization like the NSPCC, the National Society for Protection of Cruelty to Children, because we know it's terrible when children are neglected and they experience cruelty. One of the images which is etched very firmly on my mind is a couple of years ago being in Rwanda, down towards Zaire, and seeing hundreds of children on their own, little children, walking along a road with no adults or parents with them. And the English major I was with driving down that road, he'd had rather too much tea that morning. He stopped his Land Rover, which I was in, and he went to a bush to relieve himself. And suddenly the bush moved, because a little boy had lain down to die behind that bush. And it was a terrible thing to see a little neglected child who had just lain down to die. Luckily, we were able to rehydrate him, and actually he's okay today, I understand. But neglect is a terrible thing, isn't it? And Jesus says exactly the same on the spiritual front. Jesus does not water down the fierceness of his attack on those who neglect the more important matters of the law, those things like justice and mercy and faithfulness. You see, their lack of understanding the will of God instead was expressed in caring only about the trivia of ritual practices. They minimized the great moral precepts which were meant to be practiced: justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You see, the lives of believers are not just to be marked by an outward, but also by an inward reality. It's vital we don't deceive ourselves in these areas. I came across recently in a book a letter by John Wesley, written to his niece. In fact, John was brought up in a house not very far from where we're in church today. And he's writing to his niece, Miss Patty Ellison, and as he often did, regularly. And this letter is dated the 7th of September, 1777. And in the letter, he writes like this, encouraging her: "Only go on as you've begun. Labour to be not almost, but altogether a Christian. And not only an outsider, but an inside Christian, the same in heart and life. Then you will realise more and more the blessings from him who watches over us for good, and that observes the faintest motions of our hearts towards him, and is ready to bring every good desire to good effect." Very striking phrase, isn't it, in a letter? "Only go on as you've begun. Labour to be not almost, but altogether a Christian. Not only an outsider Christian, but an insider Christian." And yet, these so-called men of God, the things they prided themselves in, God rejected. And the things which were important to God were not tragically on their agenda. You see, they were getting everything wrong. And I think, to paraphrase what Jesus is saying to us today in this teaching preserved for our learning, is, look, observe meticulous rules if you like, but don't neglect the things which really matter. It's a somber warning to us. These people who are wrong in their judgment, inexcusable in their neglect, And then third, they were ridiculous in their practice. Look at verse 24, will you? He says, "You blind guides, you strain out a gnat, but you swallow a camel." And it is catastrophic, isn't it, I suspect, if you follow a blind guide. You have no idea where you may end up or what you might plunge into. And Jesus says, "You blind guides, you strain out a gnat, but you swallow a camel." That word strain has a sense of cleanse from the dregs or the filth, get the rubbish out of things. Now, it's common in Jewish households to drain, say, a drink through a muslin gauze so the impurities would not go into what you were going to drink. If you turn to Leviticus 11 sometime, you'll discover that two impure animals listed there in verse 4 and then in verses 20 to 23 are the gnat and the camel. And Jesus, in a humorous way, but still a very somber way, says, "Look, you teach the law and you Pharisees, you have everything out of proportion." And Jesus ridicules their lack of a sense of proportion with his picture of a gnat strained out of a muslin gauze and yet the camel going through. You see, one is swallowed whole while the other is pulled out. In fact, in the Aramaic, there's a pun on the word gnat and camel, which doesn't come out, of course, in our translation. You see, it's ridiculous, says Jesus, in practice to live like that. It gets everything out of proportion. And what was happening was these people were giving weight to human regulations at the expense of divine ordinances. And such inconsistencies, says Jesus, were and are blatantly disgusting. See, a myopic obsession with details of man-made rules and regulations is mad when it misses out on the great qualities of the character of the giver, which the law revealed and required of those who receive it. I wonder if you know that verse. It's often seen as a great summary verse of how people of God in the Old Testament should live. Micah 6, verse 8 says this, and it's God speaking, "He showed you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God." Exactly the same as verse 23 here, where Jesus reminds his hearers that the more important matters of the law are justice, mercy, and faithfulness. Let's try and bring this down to our workaday lives. Justice. You see, God does what is right and fair. And if we're believers, we are to reflect his character. We're called to reflect his justice. So we'll try and make sure in our workplaces there's an honest diligence in doing what's right and fair. I guess there's some people here today who are employers, other people who are employees. Are you somebody who's actually making sure you're doing what's just? Are you fulfilling your responsibilities? Are you looking out to the rights of those you employ? I just think of some of you I speak to, and I think employers around the West End very often, frenetic life, demand far too much. So people not only sometimes come to work on Saturdays, but also on Sundays and work horrific hours. Well, how about the impossible conditions? I wonder if sometimes, if you're an employer, you make people work in what in effect are broom cupboards, and they try and, say, run a business or coordinate all the administration of a business from a corridor or something where there's lots of people coming and going and four or five other people on the phone. You see, those can be impossible conditions to work in, and we're called to be just in the way in which we go about our daily work and in fact how we provide work for others. Are we reflecting the justice of God? And then mercy is the other great quality mentioned here, and mercy is an active kindness to everyone in need. And I think church people are quite good, aren't they, about being kind to people in physical need very often. But actually what goes against the grain so often in our sort of do your own thing, please yourself world is, strangely enough and paradoxically, to have mercy on those who are morally fallen. I wonder how many people here might be known to us who have been Christian believers, are Christian believers, but have had some terrible moral lapse and let God down in some major way. I wonder, are we people who sit on judgment over them, or do we actually show not just justice in our workaday lives, but do we show mercy to people who've sinned against God and perhaps also against others? Justice, mercy, and then faithfulness. You see, we're to be consistent and dependent in our walk with the living God, just as he is faithful and constant to us. You see, he never lets go of us. His character doesn't change. And if God is faithful to us, we need to make sure we walk faithfully with him as well. Do you see verse 23 again? You blind guides, you strain out a gnat but swallow a camel. In the verse before, he says, you've neglected the more important matters of law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. So often those are the first things to go in our own lives. It was Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was executed at the end of the war in Flossenbürg concentration camp, who, writing about those who are true believers, says this, I quote, "Only those who believe obey, and only those who obey believe." Are you somebody who's a true believer? Are you believing and obeying? And are you obeying and believing? I love the story, which I'm going to end with now, about F.B. Meyer, a great preacher and evangelist, who was found by C.T. Studd, a great missionary and also a great cricketer in earlier years, at 5 a.m. in the morning, going through his Bible verse by verse. And C.T. Studd was a little bit amazed to find him at 5 a.m. being so sort of particular, going through verse after verse after verse. And F.B. Meyer was asked by C.T. Studd, "What are you doing?" And F.B. Meyer replied, "I was reading this morning John 14, verse 15. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And so I was therefore checking if I am being obedient." Perhaps we need to check whether we're being obedient. Are we men and women who are following those great imperatives of the law? Justice and mercy and faithfulness. Are we reflecting those in our lives? You see, the warning of these two verses is very harsh. Beware if you're a stickler for detail, but blind to great principle. Beware if you put the last things first and the first things last. You and I, as Christian believers, are called to be honest and real in every part of our lives. Let's pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that though it's hard, hard in its truth, hard in its application, it is a loving warning. And we ask that we would get things in the correct perspective and the right balance. Help us, Lord, to be men and women who don't neglect the more important matters of justice and mercy and faithfulness. Help us, Lord, to reflect your characteristics in our daily lives. May we do what's just. May we show mercy. And may we walk faithfully with you as you do with us. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.